Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
On today's show, hybrid breeding briefings in Congress. Tim Burchett hinting at secrets he says would keep the American public up at night. Anna Paulina Luna pushing Pete Hegseth for specific videos by April 14th. We'll also get into the mystery around General Neil McCaslin, the strange appearance of aliens.gov, fresh controversy after Bill Maher's UFO segment, plus new documentaries from Stephen Greer, from Bob Lazar, and an update on Steven Spielberg's Disclosure Day movie. There is so much going on in the UFO space right now, and Dan Zetterstrom joins me to break it all down. Hi everyone, and welcome back to That UFO Podcast. As always, my name is Andy, and joining me once again on the podcast, streaming live from a secret location somewhere in the United States of America, almost definitely. If you're ICE and you're listening to this, then no, he's in Canada. But welcome back to the podcast, Dan Zetterstrom, of course, host of the What It Means to Be Human show. Shall we get right into the political stuff, I think, first off, because we've got Stephen Greer to mention, Bob Lazar to mention, the Mark Christopher King stuff, a little bit of Skinwalker Ranch, aliens.gov, and some listener questions on various different things, the Bill Maher segment. But let's talk about former Congressman Matt Gaetz. Now, again, for those politically minded, I always feel I have to preface these things. I can't remember the bad stuff Matt Gaetz was accused of or done or alleged to have done or whatever it was, right? But he looks like a wrong'un. But don't they all politically?
He looks like a South Park character to me. Like he has. I don't know why. He's just kind of
He's got that Giga Chad college frat boy look that Colin Jost does a really good Pete Hegseth impression on Saturday Night Live. So he's got that look about him. So I don't particularly know what Matt Gaetz was accused of. However, a couple of days ago online, big furore, because Matt Gaetz basically said in an interview that he had been briefed. Former Congressman Matt Gaetz, political commentator, lawyer Matt Gaetz, folks, okay, had been briefed while in office on alien hybrid breeding programs. Dan, take it away.
So, where do we even start with this, right?
Yeah, I know. It's strange. This used to be like major, wow, can you believe someone said this? But now it's just like, there's another congresswoman talking about something that used to be, and in many ways still is, considered quite extreme for the UFO topic. There's people listening to this or watching this who will be like, oh, I can't, nah, that's not my bag in this topic. But I mean, he said it, so we have to discuss it.
Yeah, right. This one kind of set the community on fire. And when I watched it, I saw the headline and then I watched it and I was like, oh, okay, so he's saying it was an unclassified briefing. And some guy walked into his Florida office to talk about it, which is very different from him being briefed in a classified setting, like a skiff, yep, by someone in the know. This is just some rando, it seems, walking in off the street to kind of go, here's what I found about hybrids. One, it's interesting that just talking about UFOs used to get the reaction that the hybrids thing is getting, whereas now we've moved, right? Talking about nuts and bolts stuff is very comfortable, and everyone was watching that space launch yesterday, and NASA were talking about finding life out there. Like, it's not an outlier to talk about alien life and something visiting the planet anymore. What is an outlier, mm-hmm, is talk about hybrids. But we can think of it, I think when we talk about hybrids, people have this idea in their head of like government programs mixing alien DNA with us, or the other way around, you know, abductees kind of being impregnated and, you know, a species trying to survive through us. But when we kind of try and think about the subtlety of it, ways that it could be real and technically true, you know, we found all of the ingredients for life on a meteor recently. So if those microbes come from another planet and they crash on our planet and that resulted in us, you know, that mixture resulted in us, then technically we are hybrids from another planet. So there are ways to think about this that don't involve these like crazy sci-fi ways of thinking about it, you know, like in a Chris Pratt movie or something like that.
Yeah.
There are lots of different ways to think about hybridization. There's probably some truth to the panspermia angle, and whether it's directed or not, you know, a species sending their microbes and cells and stuff here to mix so that their legacy goes on. In terms of, you know, they being labs underground with aliens conducting experiments and making alien-human hybrids, I don't know. It makes me think of Disclosure Day, right? And how they're kind of communicating in that. Taken is a good example.
I've got a little bit of exclusive, well, not to me, but only because I've read it and it's only just out on Disclosure Day, a little bit more news on it that Empire Magazine has just dropped with an interview with Colin Firth. So I'll read that. It's literally a couple of paragraphs coming up. Two things. First off, do you really not think he means, in my head, when I think alien hybrid breeding program, I think full on big bubbly water chambers,
floating bodies.
People like with the masks on, you know, that's great for video, not so good for audio. Your signal did not drop
did
out there.
Darth Vader just walked past there.
Yeah, that was me covering my mouth. So I think full on like that type of setting, that alien, dark, gritty look, you know, Ridley Scott type look to things.
Yeah.
That's to me kind of what he's getting at here. However, on the flip side of that, the who I think is important. Now, you said like flippantly, you know, some random. Thing is, it won't be some random, but are we talking that Stephen Greer has briefed him on, I say briefed with the air quotes, and we're going to come back to Greer later on. Is it a Stephen Greer's walked in and said this, that there are candidates that it could be? And I think that would potentially dilute the juice.
I think you're spot on considerably. There's, like I say, there's a subtlety to this, right? And we have to consider, like, okay, it's someone like Greer. That's what I meant when I say someone random, you know, just someone
especially,
that's into this and has
especially
read a lot
with
about this.
Greer hanging about with Burleson so much. And I find that so strange that Burleson has David Grush on one side of him and Greer on the other. And that's just, again, YouTube, ignore what I just done there. I hope that doesn't skiing, basically, folks, on the audio. But he's got either side, no allegations being made there whatsoever. But he's got on one side, I think it's fair to say, a lot of folks view David Grush as a highly credible guy who came forward with some pretty startling information and made a lot of waves. On the other side, you've got Dr. Stephen Greer, who many find credible, a lot of folks find incredibly controversial, and is a little bit more out there in terms of his very, very strict views on the topic. Again, we will come to Stephen Greer's new documentary and my thoughts on it, Dan, later. That's just such a weird, I don't know if dichotomy is the right word, to have those two figures giving you information, but that then gives them a level of access and credibility, doesn't it? And potential influence over, for example, if we're saying it is Greer, and we have no knowledge as to who this person is. I don't, Dan. I don't know if you do.
No.
No. Right. But say it is like a Greer. For me, that's like Stephen Greer's walking about Washington briefing people. And we know he's claimed this in the past. But yeah, but is that he's handing out documents he's made to staffers? Because it was only a couple of weeks ago, Stephen Greer on the news, again, it was with Eric Burleson, talked about how he had handed briefings, or it was he'd handed briefings or put together briefings for the president. But then when he went into a little bit more, it was like, yeah, you've handed them out to folks in Washington in the hope that it gets there. If I write a birthday card for Donald Trump and go around Washington handing them out to staffers saying, can you please pass this on to the president? You know, it's very unlikely to get to him. So I don't know how much to read into that. But yeah, so the who I think for me is important there.
It's the who is very important because, yeah, not everyone's equal, like you said. And I mean, to your point, you know, you could send a copy of your book to Trump, to the White House, right? And then you could go
Atlas
around
of Unidentified Flying Objects.
Available on Amazon now. And then you could say, retailers, you know, Trump gained a copy of your book and is learning about UFOs through it. You know, you could say the same thing. So we really need to hold people accountable on that language. The hybrid stuff also reminds me of Linda Moulton Howe. You know, it seems that if you're in this long enough, you start going into that stuff. You know, you become more comfortable with the woo and the sci-fi concepts and stuff, and they kind of start pouring in that way. But the Stephen Greer stuff, I find interesting because no one ever brings it up, and I know we've talked about it before, but Greer platformed Carol Rosen, who was attached to Von Braun back in the day.
Yeah.
And Carol Rosen made a speech that was all about Blue Beam. You know, what people know as Blue Beam, the false flag alien invasion that's like a holographic thing. And apparently that was like zapped into her brain remotely from Von Braun, who was, you know, on his hospital bed. So I feel like if you're supporting Greer and taking him at his word, then this kind of comes part and parcel with it. And he put it in multiple books. He's talked about it in multiple documentaries. So it's not just something that he came across, repeated, and then left alone. You know, this is something that he keeps pushing. So we need to take all of those things together to kind of get a proper informed opinion of where people are coming from. So with Grush, like you say, it's very cut and dry, right? Like, he's an official. He's very like, I spoke to 40 people who said this, yada, yada. I found evidence of it. And he's pointing and trying to get Congress towards like this physical evidence, actual hard copies with names and things like that. Whereas Greer seems a bit more pie in the sky. And like I said, he's bringing in this like psychotronic stuff where people are beaming speeches into each other's heads about fake alien invasions. And it's like, well, they're two very different things. So
yeah,
it really does matter who is saying this. And I get the Burleson's going around with all these different sources. It almost reminds me of how Bigelow and, you know, NIDS and the science team that he was using on ORSAP had to be. You know, they'd go to World Weekly News for their data because that's the only place that's reporting on this stuff. So they had to incorporate, you know, that's a check one in the column for aliens ate my baby.
Yeah. And I think, let's be fair, because there will be folks listening to us who are big Greer fans and appreciate this is just our take, our opinion. The 40 witnesses of Grush, like, they could be of varying reputability as well.
Right.
You don't know who's in there. Some of those could be whistleblowers that have come forward and had debatable levels of credibility and stories and everything like that as well. So we don't know. But I think it is fair to make the blanket statement most folk find Grush and what he done more credible. On that, the Tim Burchett comments, similarly, he recently was discussing on the news that he was briefed very recently on the UAP topic again, and what he learned would keep the US public up at night. Now, there's a lot of things keeping the US public and other publics around the world up at night, but I on the UAP UFO subject, I think he meant, you know, the world. And I think sometimes they forget this, don't they? And I get it's the US taxpayer and the US, I get that, but this is still a worldwide phenomenon. This will not exclusively affect the United States. As you can see, things the US does affects all of us, i.e. the diesel in my car costing an absolute fucking fortune at the minute, Dan.
Try driving an RV, man. It's about $200 to fill up at the moment.
Well, very quick, I'm £94 at the minute to fill my car. That's about $160, $170. And I think the US is like four times cheaper for diesel or petrol than the UK. So yeah, when you think you've got it bad, folks, but I get you've got a much bigger tank to fill, Dan. But yeah, it's pretty bad.
Doesn't go as far either.
No. But yeah, so the Burchett basically saying he was briefed on things that would keep you up at night. What's your take on these comments? This isn't a new original comment, but Burleson has recently said, you know, I am not suicidal, and I'm pronouncing that deliberately wrongly. Tim Burchett has had to come out and say, I am also not looking to off myself at any point in the near future. These are things that people tend to say when they feel a little bit under threat or they're trying to protect themselves. What's your take on Dan, Tim Burchett's comments?
I'd also say some people say that when they want clicks. Like, there's definitely that out there, that aspect. Not saying that that's what they're saying. You know, we have this whole McCaslin thing going on and the weird links
we're
to
going
other
to get
scientists
to that in a minute,
missing. But again, we got to hold all of these possibilities. You know, it might be genuine, it might not be true at all. You know, we'll just, it's how they feel. And if they feel like they're saying something, then, you know, they'll feel the need to say, hey, I'm not suicidal. But that doesn't mean necessarily that what they've heard is true and so on and so forth. The stuff with Burchett, it kind of strikes me in the same way as all politicians when they say something. You know, I think all of us have learned that politicians just say things. And that some are also not that smart. So not to say that Tim Burchett is definitely that, but I think we need to see what he's seen so that we can judge for ourselves, because the appeal to authority is kind of what has gotten us to this place of just knowing nothing. You know, we want transparency. We don't want sound bites. We've had that for decades and decades and decades now. And it also leads to us like speculating what he could mean. And we all bring baggage into that conversation. For me, what I heard is he's seen things that he doesn't think is prosaic. I know he's a religious person. So given Vance's comments about UFOs being demons a couple of weeks back, it kind of made me think, well, maybe he's being convinced by that. But that belief we got to be careful with, because, you know, demon is a very loaded word. It comes from a religious place, you know, angels and demons. Yep. Chris Bledsoe say they're angels, but for someone else, that's a demon. And so we have to remember that with ufology, it's very flexible because we don't know anything. Whereas if you're coming from a place of religion, that's theology, and that's very inflexible. So you can like shove ufology into that box and it'll fit, in the same way as it'll fit into these are sky creatures or these are aliens or the, you know, we don't have hard facts. So it's very easy to just put labels on things that might not be true. Even if they're demons, we still kind of have to look at them and scientifically define them, right? Just saying it's demons makes us, it puts us in a fear space and, you know, probably gives permission to the US in a way, a very Christian country, to kind of just start shooing at these things. And I don't want that, you know?
You don't know, you don't want that. They could be real demons and you might be actually bomb the shit out of them. Like, yeah, send them back to the... Yeah, the demons might like that. The demons might like that, to be fair. I don't think it is the demons thing, because Burchett's talked about that before. That conversation at that level with Luna, Burleson, Burchett's out there, that's been discussed. I think he's getting at more of the... I hate to use that somber phrase, and that's way overused by people, but with Lou Elizondo saying that some time ago. But I think he is getting at more of an origin. Pure speculation here, folks. I'm hoping to have Burchett on next week, by the way, so I can ask him directly. But I think he is getting more at origins or intent and it heading towards that, this is going to be world-changing. Not just that they exist, but the reason, the what they're doing, the why. I just get the feeling it's that, because I feel the demonic stuff like they've talked about, and it would be like, yeah, but we know that you've said that before. So why is that keeping you up now? I mean, they've all went out there and said it.
But then, like, you know, I agree. You know, we're just speculating here, so we're just bringing ideas. Until you ask him, we just don't know. But I'm struggling to think what origin, aside from that demonic thing, would cause him to feel that way. Because, you know, we throw around this phrase, ontological shock, right? That's a bingo word in the community. And it just means that, you know, there's something so far outside of your bounds comes in that it just shakes your whole world up. I think anything extraterrestrial wouldn't qualify, because I have it like on my head, and I think a lot of other people too, when you go out into the world and you just say, hey, do you believe in aliens? Like, it's not a crazy conversation. People have their opinions and they're familiar with the concept. And I think if an alien showed up, they'd be like a bit shocked, but not to the point where they'd end up in a, you know, mental institution or something. And of course, not true for everyone, just most people, I'm saying. Whereas something, you know, interdimensional or demonic would really push people to be like, oh shit, like the world is not, I swore again, there's your beep. The world is not what they thought it was, and it would really shake them up, you know? So for me, it's a question of, okay, Tim Burchett, tomorrow you've got to go to work, you've got to pick your kids up from school. What scenario would make that a thing that you just can't do? Do you want to lock yourself in?
Can I give you one?
Go on.
And I'm not saying this is the definite, this is me thinking out loud. So I think it'll be something along the lines of, these things are here already and have been for some time. These things have a lot more of an involvement in our world than people would realize. And I think you could even take that further. And I'll give it a specific example of you know, you get these reports of huge triangles going around suburban city streets at like 2 a.m. and taking people or performing observations, all that kind of stuff. Uh-huh. Stuff like that where, and maybe it does lead into the abduction phenomenon. Maybe it is a little bit of that. They operate with impunity, but taking the military out of things, the public are affected by this in a way. And I would wonder, is it like that where they're here, they've been here for a long time, they have more of an influence in our world than people would like to know, and they do certain things that your government, your police force, your law, your military can't do anything about.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
That would fuck people up pretty badly.
Yeah.
Excuse my friend.
It's that speech from Intruders, isn't it? Where the guy sits down with Bert Hopkins and he just says, hey, like, what do you expect me to tell people? That when you lock your doors at night, that something can come in and take you and impregnate you and take your eggs and your sperm, and there's not a damn thing we can do about it? I'm not telling anyone that. The world will fall apart. You know, that's the kind of level for me, I think similar to you, that it would have to be to keep me up at night. Or you know, how we talk about, I think Tom DeLonge talks about it, right? Where he says, you know, thoughts become things, we manifest things. Mm-hmm. And maybe these others are a factor in the world that helps inspire people. You know, maybe, I'm trying to think of a good example. There was a Nobel Prize winner whose idea was given to him by a glowing raccoon that he came across at 1 a.m. And there are kind of countless
examples. Someone was on mushrooms.
Yeah. But you know, these are smart people, and they talk about these like really crazy things, like glowing raccoons giving them ideas, or like little elves and stuff, just inspiring a big change in their life and therefore affecting the world. You start doing that with politicians, you can really affect the course of history. And so I think, yeah, it's really a, the concern is a loss of agency, right? Like, are we in control of our own lives and our own world? If this thing is affecting that, eesh.
Combine the first thing and this then to really go all out there on the speculation, you know, scale. Have you got that whole Disclosure Day alien hybridization where you literally have entities that are not human interacting and intermingling with us? And they are in positions of power, in positions of influence. I know people joke, for example, Erling Haaland is not a human being because he's such a good striker. He's a freak athlete. You shouldn't be able to do what he does. You know, that's like a entertainment sports direction. Sure. But then in the same vein, can you have high-ranking politicians, people in the military that aren't really front-facing? But and people joke about Mark Zuckerberg, to be honest, because he's so robotic and emotionless and lifeless. And if you look at a guy, same with Musk. Musk's so weird that you're like, is there something there? And I'm not claiming he is an alien hybrid, but is, again, that the level of some of these beings have literally infiltrated society?
Yeah, it's interesting.
Stephen Greer would say, no, you're all wrong, you idiots, for thinking that. But yeah. We'll get
But then he'd tell you the same thing a week later and say, listen to me, right? Like, that's the struggle with Stephen. And it's hard. It's difficult to kind of keep things straight because there are so many different of these sources. You know, I think of Danny Sheehan, who, you know, serves, works with Lou, works with Grush, works with Greer. And there are so many contradictions between all of these people's stories. And he somehow has to hold those in equal regard. It's difficult, but I think the scenario we landed on there, you know, that inspiration changing the course of the world, maybe changing history, it's kind of plugging into all the Peter Lavender stuff, the Parsons stuff, the Crowley stuff. And yeah, it puts us in a really weird place where the world isn't what we think it is. And, you know, kind of magic in a strange sense might be real and you can affect things with your thoughts and something is influencing us.
Reality is classified, as Matthew Brown said not too long ago. So moving on, but sticking with the congressional theme at the moment, the letter sent from Anna Polina Luna and co. to Secretary Pete Hegseth, who is the Secretary of War / Defense, which is similar to Twitter / X, because you see both of them these days. Very quick, I won't read it, it's four pages, but the front page, the rest of it tends to be lists. But if for folks who haven't seen this, on March 31st, this was sent to Hegseth. The Committee on Oversight and Government Reforms Task Force on the Declassification of Federal Secrets Task Force is continuing its investigation into unidentified aerial phenomena. Should be anomalous, but I'll let them away with that. The continued lack of transparency surrounding these anomalies and the potential national security threat they pose is troubling. On September 9th, 2025, the task force held a hearing focused on these concerns. Whistleblowers informed the task force that ARO possess additional video records of potential UAP sightings. To continue its investigation, the task force requests certain video files related to UAP sightings. The lack of disclosure regarding the very real threat posed by UAPs in and around US restricted airspace is concerning. The task force has found response from ARO when questioned about UAP sightings and provided data less than adequate. The presence of UAPs in and around the sensitive airspace of US military installations poses a threat to the security of the armed forces and their readiness to assist the task force in its investigation of UAPs. We request the following videos be delivered as soon as possible, but no later than April 14th, 2026. Now, there's then a huge list, Dan. I'm not going to read the list, but it's 1-4 UAP formation, Iran, 26th of August, 2022. Number 2, Syrian UAP incident acceleration, 2021. And it goes through, you know, number 4, cigar-shaped or fat spherical UAP, fat-shaming the craft. Then there's spherical UAP, erratic movement, spherical UAP pulsing over water, spherical UAP in clouds, Voodoo Forex, Cranberry UAP. Then there's all kind of acronyms and everything else in that. So they have pushed for this. Luna signed it. They want this within the next 2 weeks from the signing of the letter, so about a week and a half from now. There's 46 requests there for videos. I don't doubt, even with my skeptical hat on, Dan, that half of those I would probably watch and be like, at least half, maybe 75% would be like, that could be a targeting balloon, that could be a missile, that could be just a cool drone. But surely within that, there's going to be some interesting stuff. And again, we go to the who. For my money, is this David Grush informing Burleson, Luna, Burchett? This is the stuff you have to ask for. These are the exact dates. This is the name of it. Go and ask for this. They can't stonewall you on this. Or if they do, they're really, really pushing it because you're being incredibly specific here on what you're asking for.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the aspects of this that I love is that the letter is public. So not only are they asking for this stuff, but they're kind of informing us what exists, right? And we've heard about these 23-minute videos. We've heard all about these crazy videos that people have seen and in HD, you know, 4K, craft up close kind of stuff. And we've never actually gotten like a definitive list. So this is great on that front because, you know, there will be people out there who are readying their FOIA engines and requesting these things, as well as the, you know, Anna Paulina Luna and everyone requesting them. I was surprised to see the Lake Huron shoot down on there. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, they did that shoot down. It was designated a UAP when they didn't know what it was. And then we were told it was a balloon. Apparently, there exists a video where it's still labeled UAP. That's really interesting. Like, that kind of fell off the radar. So I'm glad that's there. I agree with you. I thought, oh, is Grush giving them this list? Is Grush telling them this list? This is what I wanted from, you know, Grush's relationship with these politicians right after the hearing that he was a part of. You know, just kind of start spilling the beans, start asking for the right things. We are still waiting for that hostile witness list that he spoke of. And I would love to see people subpoenaed. ARO tends to focus on prosaic stuff. Even though, you know, if you look at interviews with Kozlowski, he talks about anomalous stuff and anomalous stuff existing for sure. But we never see it. So maybe this is that kind of stuff that they're trying to pry out of ARO. The deadline yep. is awesome. You know, that gives us that definitive cutoff point, kind of like what happened with Skywatcher, right? Like, you'll know them by their fruits. Like, the deadline is good. And even if they don't adhere to that deadline, we can then say, oh, you actually ignored authority on this. So that's interesting. Yeah. You're really pushing that out. But it does sound like a lot of these videos are kind of in the low info zone, as Mick West likes to say, you know, just mm-hmm. balls, orbs, fuzzy shapes, you know. But again, I haven't seen them. I don't know. So maybe there's some anomalous movement kind of along with them. And I've also seen Jeremy Corbell point out that one of them listed is the Syria kind of instantaneous acceleration one that him and George Knapp released, which I know there's a lot of debate around. It looks like, or should I say, I wonder if, because, you know, Trump said his thing that he wants all these UAP files handed over. It wasn't anything more than what Biden signed into law like a year or two ago, where he said, you know, basically, everyone, give us your UAP files. We're going to put them in the National Archive. Then it was late. It was delayed by a year. And now it looks like this is kind of what's coming through. So these files will all be coming with chain of custody. So if there's anything even remotely anomalous there, it's from a very official source. And I'm aware that I'm kind of appealing to authority in that way, even though I was doubting Berger on it a second ago. But this is kind of the take it seriously, hold it lightly that we have to do in this subject, right? Like this is just what we're getting. This is the way. But the chain of custody is really important. Getting everything, these lists public are really important. And when you were talking about your skeptic hat there, have you got any skeptic hats in the shop? You should definitely put a skeptic hat up.
I do not, but the shop is available, folks, for your wearable pleasure. But everyone's skint just now, I think, the state of the world. Right, okay, a couple of things. First one, just again, in the viewers of fairness, when you say it's nothing that Biden didn't sign in, Biden signed a bit of paper, and this isn't a slight on Biden. I don't care about any politicians, honestly. But, like, Biden had nothing, no interest publicly at all in the UAP.
No.
I don't think he did privately. So for him signing his stuff in, he just was signing stuff that was put under his nose. The difference is Trump came out and said it. But, again, I have to caveat, Trump says a lot. So, yeah, there is that. But also, in terms of this request, I don't think I would call it a last chance saloon for the politicians. I definitely feel the hearings, you were kind of getting diminishing returns off the back of them. I still think the poorest one was the NASA dude, Mike Gold, Elizondo, Gallaudet, and Schellenberger. Right? Yeah, the only one I'm quite impressed with myself remembering that. Because the only thing really from that of substance was the Immaculate Constellation document being entered into record, and then that we're getting a little bit more from that. After that, I felt the Knapp one was decent. But like I said, we recorded on that the very moment Charlie Kirk was assassinated. We were recording, and that stopped any momentum potentially from that hearing. It might have not had any momentum anyway. We don't know, and we'll never know now. But I think this is at least a different direction for them to go in. If we get 46 videos out, Dan, and do you know what? A good place to bring in the whole alien.gov, aliens.gov. If that website and domain ends up being host to that content and we get a lot of videos of really debatable quality, what I would love, Dan, is a video to come out. I don't care whether it's from Corbell and Knapp. I just appreciate they're getting stuff out there. I get some of the quality of various things is debatable. I include the Hellfire missile video from the last hearings and stuff as well. It would just be nice for a video to come out that within 5 minutes, I couldn't read a social media post on X where I go, yeah, that sounds plausible that it's this, or actually, do you know what? I can see the wings flapping Bledsoes on that orb. Or, you know, it would just be nice to have something that after 5 minutes still hasn't been debunked. And that includes by good people who really like this topic. Look at the guys in the Discord chat, Dan, who really want something to be anomalous, but usually within minutes, most of them are going, you can see this or actually see this. I just would like something that it doesn't have to be completely anomalous in terms of, oh my God, that's an alien spacecraft. It would just be great to have something to go, this is really decent, and people can instantly debunk it, because we really don't get that very often.
Do you think... Here's my concern. Like, I hear you and I totally agree, right? That's what we need to kind of have this conversation properly about the anomalous stuff. But also, it worries me because even if something came out that had, you know, a chain of custody, like, there would still be people going, it's AI. You know, like, that is, like, the bottom of the barrel debunk that a lot of people would get to. And we've always...
Official government video.
we exist between, right? Like we try and stay in the middle and kind of go, yeah, it could be these things, but also like it might not be. And AI is really the go-to for a desperate debunk if they can't debunk it in any other way. But I just wonder how you feel about that. Like, would AI be a valid like thing for you, or do you think the chain of custody from the government would make you go, no, this is still interesting and it's clearly not AI because it's coming from the government, even though Trump posts AI videos all the time, right? Like that, I guess that's where I'm getting at.
Yeah. Weather balloon, swamp gas, drone, AI, just add it to the list. And that's not to say that there hasn't been weather balloon, swamp gas, drones, and especially drones over the last couple of years. But it can be a really lazy debunk. I like going to the really skeptical folks online, you know, like your Flarkies.
Flarkies great, yeah.
Yeah. And they go so hard in on stuff sometimes. But I like looking at Marek von Weningkamp's analysis that, and I like Marek. I've spoke to Marek. I've met Marek. And I do think he skews really positively on stuff. And then you've got a Mick West who skews really negatively. I like seeing different sides so I can look and go, yeah, do you know what? They've made a really good point on this, but actually they have totally destroyed it on the other side and vice versa. So, yeah. And the AI one, it would depend on the context, because I think that's where we're at the point. If something really good comes out, it's now going to be a distraction from the Epstein files. That's going to be the automatic label. That's right. A distraction from the Epstein files. If we got, remember the a couple of years ago, the infamous black triangle coming out the water, done the rounds for a while, as this is going to be the smoking gun. And then folks were like, it's a picture from a video. But imagine we got the video. It would probably look a way that made you go, that looks AI. Remember we spoke about SpaceX's filming of the rockets coming back in to be caught at sea?
Yeah, where it looked very AI. It looked fake, yeah. Right? Because it was so cinematic and it was so perfect. And like, that's
from
what
five different angles.
Right. Yep. Like any potential like black triangle video that's going to blow our mind, it will, you know, well, according to what people have said about it, you know, it moves through the water without moving the water, moves through the air without moving the air. So it's going to look superimposed, right? It's going to look like a crappy clip art just thing going through, but anything remotely alien is going to look remotely alien to us, right?
So it would have to be, for me, not the video itself. It would have to be the legacy of the video. And what comes from it, the conversation it prompts and the actions it prompts. I said that about any more hearings coming up in future. It would be great, and it's wonderful for people who create content like myself and yourself. We can sit and talk about it till the cows come home. People will write articles on it. People will make social media posts. It's how the world works now. We can bin the old, people are doing it just for clicks. People do stuff now just for clicks and information and content and entertainment. But if there's something really substantial there, then that's worth talking about. Again, more hearings with some folks that we know sitting in front of Congress saying what we've heard isn't going to make any difference, and it just becomes a self-fulfilling it's almost like, you know, back in the olden times, like the 90s or the early 2000s, before social media, the idea of meeting or talking to a celebrity was so, wouldn't it be amazing to meet your idol? Whereas now you can have conversations with them, you can piss them off online. Do you know what I mean?
You can pay for a message, right?
Yeah, you can. So it's no longer like unattainable, and it's almost like, I don't want to blow either of our trumpets here, Dan, and it's not the point I'm trying to make. But I feel if they have many more hearings, myself and yourself are not a kick in the arse away from being called up, because there gets a point where it's like. And I'm not saying, for the love of God, we could say anything relevant or even useful, but it's like, who else are you going to speak to? Because unless it's someone really, really out there, wow, new, i.e., we'll get to it, they call up General Neil McCasland and he walks in after 3 months being missing to testify live, you know, and blows everyone away.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, there comes a point that I think that there has to be something off the back of these things, because like you say, video, AI, photo, AI. But what comes from it? Do we get pilots coming forward? People will still claim distraction. But to that point, do we then need something like, you're going to mention the moon mission. Let's just bring it up now, because it's not a whole lot to talk about. You've got Artemis 2 that has launched, as we speak, yesterday successfully, is on a 12-day mission where it's going to orbit the moon. You're sending humans the furthest into deep space we've ever gone, allegedly. secret space program, folks. Cody Good would dispute that.
you can't even mention it. That's his copyright.
Yeah, true. Yeah. A Darcy Weir interview, folks. If you haven't listened to it or watched my interview with Darcy Weir, it's really decent. We talk about all that, right?
And seriously, Darcy's amazing too. So I highly recommend people doing that. He's tracked the links and the chain and the hypocritical comments and the contradictions. Like, he's phenomenal.
He made a great point on that around, we've got now 7 scientists missing that have links to McCasland and those programs and advanced rocketry and physics and everything like that, right? Sorry if I get anything wrong there, folks, but that's the gist of it. Really important scientists with really top secret knowledge and, you know, have gone missing and we don't know where they are, including McCasland and people linked to him. It is like not an episode, but series of the X-Files. That would be a whole story arc at this point. Darcy made the point, these people going missing with this knowledge is incredibly interesting when you think of some of the folks in the UFO community coming out and saying some incredibly wild things and they don't go missing.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Like, and I was like, that's fair.
Where does the plausible deniability begin and end? Where's that line, right? Because something like Corey Good, and he's like, oh yeah, I'm just coming out and telling you this stuff, so they're not going to touch me. If they touch me, then it kind of brings validity to what I'm saying.
Yeah,
fine. But also the real world side of it is what we're seeing. People are going missing and there's enough ambiguity around it for a choose your own adventure. If you're into the UFO stuff, it's the UFO stuff. If you're not, it's just a human tragedy.
They're properly going missing. It's not even like we have found this or we've got traces of this. These people have literally vanished.
And the McCasland stuff weeds me out because it's like, you know, they look through the Ring camera footage in his neighborhood. So it's not even like, oh yeah, there was a black window sedan that he walked into and went missing from. It's almost like he walked out the door and the door was a portal to somewhere else, right?
It's almost like he didn't leave the house.
Right.
And someone emailed me, one of the listeners, I haven't got back to them yet, sorry, but the email to say, and I don't know, I appreciate you giving me the vote of confidence to ask me this, but they were like, have the authorities bothered to check the house? I imagine they have. Like, I don't think the wife's topped him off or that he is hiding in some secret bunker under the ground, giggling and laughing away, sitting there till it all blows over. Shaun of the Dead, go to the Winchester, have a pint, wait till it blows over. Like, it very much is like he never left that house, or he left that house without leaving that house. And you can go into kind of weird and wonderful abduction ideas and theories there. And I'm watching Man in the High Castle just now, end of season 2.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, meditation and going on. I'm not saying he done that, folks. I imagine there's a much more prosaic and probably tragic answer to how this tale's going to go. But this guy has literally vanished. And you would imagine, I made the point, Dan, chatting to a few folks, that surely a guy like this would be monitored when you leave. One of those things where you leave the service, but you don't really leave. Because when you know what this guy allegedly knows, and let's even take away the UFO stuff, this guy was incredibly valuable in terms of his knowledge and workings of aerospace, military industrial complex, US secrets. He would have been really valuable to the Russians, the Chinese, the North Koreans, whoever it may be. I always like to throw in like the Jamaicans, the Scottish, whoever wanted to get those secrets.
Kazakhstan.
Kazakhstan. Yeah. So whatever this guy's known, surely he is detailed constantly. And he is on a list of, have we checked in on McCasland today? Yep. He's just blah, 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 blah. He went for groceries. He went for his run. And So you're telling me they don't know where this guy is?
Yeah. And that's the thing as well, right? Like, I agree with you. I would expect that to happen based on my knowledge of the US military and how they operate. But then again, I've also seen the US military make some claims that are just about, you know, projecting power. We can track a tennis ball in space. When really, yeah, they can do that with one satellite, but they can't do that 24/7 with every little tiny thing, you know. And
with 100 tennis balls.
Picture of what it is. Right. You know, there's a limit to what we can do. And they're not untouchable. So whilst, you know, that's a good example of something, you've got to try and hold both things, right? Human fallibility and over kind of selling your claims to play with the adversaries, but also, just things going wrong.
Truman Show. You've got all these cameras set up and you're filming him all the time. You can always see where he is. You've got the camera, and yeah, he's, where is he? Where is Truman? Yeah, he's sleeping. Is he? Yeah, yeah, look, he's there. You can hear him snoring, but it's not him. And he snuck out, and they see that he snuck out. And sorry for spoiling a movie, wonderful film, but it's
the Titanic sank, by the way.
we're past the point, yeah. Titanic sank, all that stuff. So for me, yeah, like, there's that human infallibility. Shit, he was there a minute ago. I just looked away to get a Subway sandwich. My Uber was at the door of the NSA. And yeah, I've just realized that McCaslin's not there anymore. We don't know. I won't dwell on it too much more, but the McCaslin situation, it's really strange. I avoided it for a while, but it is really odd that he's just gone missing with no trace.
If the classic, you know, government swipes someone away because they know something and they off them was to happen, this is what it would look like. And that's why it's difficult to kind of just go, no, that's not what's happening. It's just a tragedy. Or to say, that's definitely what's happening. Like, there's enough wiggle room there.
Unless they're trying to keep him safe.
Maybe he was just brought into work because Trump requested the files and now he's got a very busy time, you know?
Will I go full on speculative woo?
Go on.
He's been shoved in the underground arc because these fireballs that are being seen are from a huge meteor ready to hit the Earth and destroy half the planet. So they want the best brains and minds kept underground. And he was literally shoved in a van, whisked away, and he's going to be one of the survivors of the upcoming apocalypse.
It's kind of,
that's all for part one, folks.
Project Mary. Project Hail Mary, sorry.
You know, Project Mary. So not here to that one. Yeah.
That we're just, and spoilers here, you know, we're just going to take this person and make them work on this thing against their will because that's the only person that could do it. Also reminds me of Missing 411, right? The David Pollini's documentaries where people turn around at national parks and they just go missing. I'm spending loads of time in national parks. I've not seen anyone go missing yet. I've not seen a Bigfoot, Big Feet.
You've not went missing yet?
Multiple. I've not, but maybe I have to another world and I've just skipped dimensions, right? And we're here and everyone else is looking for me. But I think this is why, and to go back to a really good point you made a minute ago, you need to look at things that challenge you, things you disagree with. You know, even if you don't like a show, just go listen to it just so you can get the other side of things because the analysis matters, you know? If you... Who would you want? Someone that walks into a hangar and is told, like, hey, can you assess the thing inside the hangar? Do you want the person that walks in and goes, that's an alien spaceship? Or do you want the person that goes in and goes, it's a circular, seems like a craft, I can't see any propulsion on it, it's smooth, I can't see any seams. You know, one's descriptive and one's jumping to conclusions.
Yeah.
And I think both of those are required for kind of proper analysis. And then we've got the trouble of, like, trusting authority, because by its very nature in this subject, we don't trust the government to tell us the truth, right? And yet here we are having to trust the government to tell us the truth. It's a catch 22.
It is 100%. On that, so a few things still to go over here. The Bill Maher segment, Dan, Bob Lazar documentary Expectations is out as we record. It's came out a day early from what we expected. Got a little Disclosure Day exclusive. Let me jump to Disclosure Day first, okay, because that's one that I'm really interested in. I've not read this yet, and I'm going to read you from a very short article, two paragraphs, okay, and it gives us a little bit more of an expansion on what we can expect. Says here, Spielberg's latest is all about the big questions. Do aliens exist? How long have we known for? And should humanity at large know about it? It says he explored these notions in Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Emily Blunt plays a character, Margaret Fairchild, a journalist whose career pivots into weather presenting, where the Disclosure Day trailer shows the weird clicking and, you know, something's talking through her. Says she's walked through life with itchy fingertips, but she has the sense she doesn't belong where she is right now. Margaret is swept into the orbit of Josh O'Connor's Daniel Kellner, a cybersecurity expert who stumbled upon highly classified knowledge, placing a target firmly on his back. He's a complete unexpected hero, O'Connor says. He's an incredibly thoughtful person, but underneath there's something about him that is unexplained that he can't put his finger on. Also caught in the crossfire is Eve Hewson's Jane Blankenship, Daniel's girlfriend, facing her own fallout. Hot on Margaret and Daniel's tail is Colin Firth's antagonist, Noah Scanlon. Now, this is probably the character I'm most interested in. leader of Wardex, contracted by the government to keep the biggest secret in the cosmos secret. As sinister as Scanlan is, he's a man with a job to do, with major consequences if he fails. There are very few people that have that responsibility to maintain what the world can cope with and what it can't. Firth then says, then the question becomes, who gets to decide that? Also fresh out of Wardex with a different agenda as Coleman Domingo's Hugo Wakefield, an advocate for disclosure and possibly a stand-in for Spielberg himself. We've never discussed it, but I feel like Hugo is a surrogate for Steven, Domingo says. I feel like Steven's optimism, his trust, his belief in the moon and the stars and all that is beyond is embedded in my character. Everything else for now is locked away about Disclosure Day. But Dan, quick take on Disclosure Day. That's kind of news to us a little bit more. It's been quite secretive. Outside of the trailers, there's not a lot. I was even looking in the last week at the international trailers for Disclosure Day. I was on YouTube, Japan, Australia. There's nothing different in them. And usually you'll see bits or glimpses of other parts of the movie. Yeah. The only thing I found that was particularly interesting, Dan, I don't know if you noticed, but in the extended trailer, when they're all in the street looking at their phone and you can see the phone screens, if you zoom in, you can see a kind of tall being with long arms, long legs, kind of Signs-esque. But you can't really make out any detail. It's quite a quick blurry, but you see it on everyone's phone. So, but I'm sure. Really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm intrigued. It looks like it's going to bring something different, and it almost looks like it's combining all of Steven's previous work. Because, you know, you had that long arm, long leg, spindly alien coming out of the ship at the end of Close Encounters. You also had the like very childlike aliens. But then you look at something like Taken, and it goes more woo with it, with the projected images, the hybridizations over decades and decades and decades, and also kind of plugs into that, how we're actually defining this thing. How can we put our finger on it if we're not actually seeing what it is and it is in control? I'm really curious how they're going to put together the woo and the nuts and bolts and kind of make a statement with it. My most outlandish theory with it is that kind of whole immune system of the solar system or the planet or the universe type thing, where, you know, maybe the Gaia spirit or whatever is kind of occupying people and communicating through them. It would certainly explain all the animals kind of, you know, coming into the picture, and also all the messages of, you know, environmental kind of concerns and things like that. But I think that's a little too woo for everyone. But we'll see. I'm really excited, in the same way as I was for Nope, that it just got a lot of people thinking about this stuff in a different way. I was in an Uber today, and the person, you know, you just chat. What do you do? And I was like, ah, UFO podcasts. And they said to me, so do you believe in extraterrestrials? And I was like, why do you think they're extraterrestrials? Like, we just don't know what they are. Like, there are so many possibilities of what they could be. So I love that this stuff is inspiring people to just think a little bit more deeply about it than the sci-fi stuff that we've had over the last 50 years.
Yeah, really intrigued by it. Look forward to it. Not too long to wait now, 2 months and a couple of days. I got to see the trailer in IMAX the other day when I saw Project Hail Mary. That was really cool to see that. Oh, and very, very slight spoiler. Saw the Super Mario Galaxy movie today. And there's a big UFO in that, because that's what Bowser Jr. flies about in. Proper big saucer-esque craft.
Nice.
It's not as good as the first one.
I've heard terrible things about it, but it's a kid's movie, right? But then
skip 10 seconds if you don't want to hear this, but I read a review from IGN that I normally never go with that said it's a movie that's nothing but references and no actual story or narrative, and it was spot on.
Have you seen Hoppers?
Yes.
So I love the idea in Hoppers of, and this is in the trailer, so it's not a spoiler, of putting your consciousness into an avatar and then moving amongst like a different species. And
I think
they
made
like
a movie called Avatar.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. But I like the way that they did it with animals and how it kind of contradicted how we understood the animal kingdom, you know, when she becomes a beaver and it's like, there's a council, there's a king, what's going on? Yeah. Like, this isn't stuff we see at all. I feel like it plugged into that kind of thing. And it was a really fun movie anyway.
Yeah, no, Hoppers was good. Mario was disappointing, folks. Go watch it. It's 90 minutes of your time. It's harmless, but really disappointed. But anyway, yeah, so Disclosure Day coming soon. Let's get into the Bill Maher segment, Dan. This is one that, let me summarize here, folks, and then I'll get Dan to share his thoughts, okay? So Bill Maher on his show Real Time had like a 9-minute segment, and it was a big mainstream segment went viral, mixed reaction from the UFO community, as always with this kind of stuff. The line it kind of opened off, though, is maybe if you don't believe in UFOs or aliens that are here already, essentially, maybe you're the conspiracy theorist. Now, quite tongue-in-cheek, but I think that's a bit of a win for the UFO community. It was, you know, we're finally getting folks on side. He makes a fair statement that his opinion changes as the information does. He basically admits that, you know, he was always really skeptical, but I think that's a very, I always say about my opinion being fluid, I think that's totally fair. Some folks, including Whitley Strieber, didn't like the anal probe reference and jokes. He makes two of them kind of back to back. I'll come back to you on that one, Dan. He says, again, I like the way he puts this across. Publicly, the government say we don't know what these things are, but privately, they say, no, we really don't know what these things are. And I like getting that out there to the public that, you know, maybe they don't know as much as they're letting on, and that's part of the problem. He sums up a lot of the big name comments made over the last few years around Rubio, Obama, you know, Trump, and their involvement. Marr says, we're in the disclosure moment in human history after Age of Disclosure and Disclosure Day coming up that we've just talked about. There's a lot of comedy still in the segment, a lot of jokes, a lot of little references, but it is a comedy news show, so you would expect that. And I don't mind it. And he kind of finishes off mentioning like Malmstrom. On that, Dan, before, so one of the big things a lot of folks didn't like was the anal probe and reference jokes and the audience laugh and the guests laugh. Is that sort of comedy acknowledgement required, that kind of joking required to break past the stigma and the taboo? Or is it too far and you should have left it out?
So I was one of the people that just didn't like that at all. It felt very 90s, and mocking experiences is not where we're at. So for me, you know, I know Bill Maher is of that generation. He appeals to many older people. You know, he's not like a young hip comedian, right? So I feel like he's aiming at his audience there who are people that are uncomfortable with this and kind of need that South Park humor along with it. But I would have liked the bar to be higher because I don't see the difference between Bill Maher doing that and Fife Simonton walking out and making jokes about the alien after the Phoenix Lights. It just kind of pulls the rug a bit on it. And of course, here the difference is that Bill Maher is saying like, yeah, I'm making the joke, but also this is real and you need to pay attention to it. So it's slightly different, but I was like, eh. And I think part of it for me as well, it kind of came from like, the jokes didn't make me laugh. It just felt like grandpa making jokes in the 90s, and I kind of wanted to tell him to go to bed. I love that he spoke about it, you know, in like a, well, at all. So his audience are kind of turned on to this now. But at the same time, I couldn't help but think of, you know, the John Oliver segment where there were so many jokes, but they weren't punching down on people. And by the end of that, like 25-minute segment, and Bill Maher's was like 8 minutes, right? So quite different again. But by the end of that segment, whether you believed or not, you could absolutely see that there was a government cover-up going on and there was influence going on in the conversation, which I think is the, you know, in these congressional hearings, that's the main takeaway that people should be angry about, that, you know, the government are just playing in this pool and trying to hide the truth from us. And it just raises so many questions. And then the audience, like, I think people should go watch the segment because it was almost like someone had a laugh button for the audience and it was just happening at random times throughout the segment. You know, there wasn't even a joke.
That happens in those shows anyway, where you're programmed for this is the funny bit.
Right. And there are definitely like, I mean, you've seen Saturday Night Live and, you know, there are definitely people like applause, you know, a sign for applause, laughter and stuff. It's part and parcel. You're part of the show when you're in there. But it just came off as really weird, and I kind of felt like a bit of a fever dream watching it. And when I pointed out that I wasn't such a big fan of it on X, people were like, oh, well, you know, it's really important that people say this. And I'm like, is it? Maybe it was 2 years ago, but now Trump has mentioned it. The bar's kind of higher now, you know, like you said, the difference between Biden and Trump signing these NDAAs that contain UAP language is that Trump has actually spoken about it without running away from a podium and getting tangled in the wires like Biden did. So we're kind of just in an era where this stuff is just not that important anymore. Like, great, I think there'll be a lot of people that will raise an eyebrow and maybe go look at what he pointed out. But then again, they're going to be looking up that Hellfire video and they're just going to see like the absolute, you know, fire going on about people saying, is this real? There's no chain of custody. Is this genuine? So I'm not sure how many people it will convince, but yeah, like I'm glad he did it, but I just didn't think it was that good. And I know that's a personal preference comedy wise.
I thought the segment was decent. I thought the comedy was fine as set completely separately, like the jokes. I was like, yeah, I wasn't pissing myself laughing, but it was like, okay. I don't get offended at any jokes or humor, regardless whether they affect me or not. I'm not an experiencer, so I can't comment on that. I still think you do need, there's like techniques when you're, for example, like my day-to-day life, when you're training people, there's different techniques for like selling or getting people's attention, and the way to reference things, like grouping things in threes. The human mind is programmed to work in different ways. So mm-hmm. for me, when he's speaking to his audience, like you quite rightly say, to bring in those references, and for me, that's a deliberate tactic, that you bring in all the things that people have made fun of and traditionally would just be made fun of, but you then you tear down that stigma by actually lessening it by hammering home facts afterwards as well. So it's almost like, let's laugh at this little thing, or remember how, like, you know, in Bumble shit, Texas, you know, in these caravan parks with these crazy tinfoil hat people, but actually, and then hits you with a genuine, but Rubio, but Obama, but this are talking about it. And it's almost like, you're going to laugh at this, but then he's hitting you with, but you've laughed at that, but now actually something pretty serious. And I thought there was like a technique to that which works with certain people, not everyone. So again, for that audience, more people will have seen that than have seen David Grush in those hearings, or Nat, or Elizondo, or Gallaudet.
Or it's so, the whole Age of Disclosure movie, right? Like, they're more likely to see an 8-minute segment than a 2-hour
so
movie.
So many more. Yep, so many more. So for me, I think that does its job. People can get upset or offended. I know Whitley Strieber hated it personally. I'm in a group chat.
I knew he was.
I'm not in many. Yeah, he was pretty pissed off with it and disappointed, and I get he would be. I think now, for where you were saying about it not being necessary, totally get your point, but I think there are too many camps now, and that's what I wrote down, for us to not need all these different angles of attack. Because I don't know if you can, but if someone said to me, okay, I'm going to get into the UFO topic, who do I follow? I probably need to give them a list of 10 names, organizations, books, places, people. I don't think there is like one place to go anymore. Again, it may be a bit old hat. We won't dwell on it. But in 2020 or 2021, both of us would have said, oh, Lou Elizondo, this guy's came out and blah, 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 blah. Most folks, I think, in the community would have pointed to Lou Elizondo as, this guy's come forward, he said this, and you were hanging on his every word because there was nothing else. And what he said and done was pretty different to what had been happening before for a long time. But now it's kind of, well, what are you can almost, it's almost like a buffet now, isn't it? Where you're not going to a Chinese restaurant with a limited menu. You're going to a buffet and someone's going, well, what do you like? Well, I'm a bit of science and academia. Cool. Well, we can recommend the Sol Foundation, the Galileo Project. Do you want Avi Loeb? Do you want Gary Nolan, Peter Scafish? Even within Sol, do you want Scafish? Do you want Bertie? Do you want Nolan? Rajasango, cool. What about Pasulka? Paul Thigpen just passed away recently, really sad. I'd recommend his book for a religious angle for that, folks. Just have to mention, really saddened to hear he'd passed away. Or do you want military angle? Do you want the journalistic angle? What kind of journalist are you looking for? Do you want a documentary? Well, again, do you want really serious? Do you want a bit more out there? There are so many different places where people can start. You need that Kellogg's variety pack approach now, where
different
comedians, different commentators, different people, there is no one spearhead, there is no one place anymore.
Like, someone that watches the Kardashians isn't going to listen to Bill Maher, but if Khloe Kardashian is speaking about aliens, then they're going to listen, right? That's how it's going to get through. So on-ramps are good, and that, I guess, that's where I was getting at when I was like, yeah, I'm glad that Bill Maher did it.
Yeah.
I don't think it should be taken away. But I wanted to touch on what you said about the abduction thing, because it almost reminded me of, you know, when you were saying about the techniques and stuff, it reminds me of like that Disney kind of dialogue, right? Like, do something serious, but then make a joke. And there's a right balanced strike. And that's going to vary person to person, you know. You know, certainly recently Marvel seemed to have fallen into the area where, like, there are just too many jokes, so it kind of undercuts the seriousness of a thing. And I think that's what the Mars segment hit for me, you know. And as much as I agree with what you're saying about abductions, he didn't come back around and kind of make the point, well, you know, people might have actually been abducted. It was almost like he made that joke, and then he was saying that the government seemed to have some involvement, so there wasn't necessarily a line draw between them. But again, that's just me, right? That's just my opinion.
But that's fine. But that's also where I've said for years, and people have, and I've had like Kelly Chase and stuff, and J. Christopher King, and people who I've got no issue with, but I've disagreed with them massively on, the public are ready for that conversation. They aren't. The general public aren't. And that is highlighted by, it's still a jokey segment. I don't know where Bill Maher could have really went there.
Right. Like, and there's no hard data as well either, right? Like, so I almost kind of wish that they'd have just gone, yeah, we're just going to remove that because we don't need to talk about abductions yet. People aren't ready. We have no data. So we'll just step away from it. It's like a landmine.
Do you want to do some questions, Dan? Because I've got a few things I'd love to hit on really quickly with you.
Yeah, man. Let's go for it.
But if you've got the time, we'll keep that for the paid folks as a little bonus. And you can also be a little bit more controversial, because I know one of them, you've got an issue with the person. So
okay.
We'll keep that.
I'm trying to think who I have issues now. Yeah, no, I'm curious who that's going to be. Bob Lazar, maybe?
It rhymes with Blyam Blobzo.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
I had to stop myself from swearing then, but yeah, I know.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go through some questions, folks, and then we'll do a quick fire with Anne on the paid stuff as a thank you for folks who pay, and can be a little bit more candid on that as well. So we've not touched yet on the Bob Lazar documentary, Dan. So really quickly, I'll get your thoughts on what you're hoping and expect from that. Like I say, it's just come out now. It's on Amazon to buy or rent. I have rented it because I tend to not go back and watch these things. So for me, I've paid. And in the premium one, I'm going to give you my thoughts on the new Stephen Greer documentary, which I also rented $5.99. I will never get back. That could have put a quarter of a litre of fuel in my tank, Dan. but yeah, I have rented the S4 documentary. I've not watched it yet. I'll do that tomorrow. What's your thoughts?
So my expectations right now, you know, if you've heard me speak on here about Lazar, I'm all over the place with him. I don't necessarily believe him. I don't necessarily think that he's full of it. I think the truth is probably somewhere in the middle. But my expectation is just an updated version of the documentary, a very modern retelling with, you know, modern special effects, good production, everything like that. So as long as it kind of passes that bar for me, I am curious whether there's something, anything new in it. Because when people ask about memories, I've heard that in this documentary, the craft is kind of rendered in detail we've never seen before. You know, like we see where the rivets are and, you know, the exact count of the screws and stuff like that. It has been so long that I don't trust that that's correct and the embellishment hasn't kind of come into it. Remains to be seen. But I've also heard in interviews that S4 is confirmed in this. And I kind of thought that we knew that a while back. But maybe there's some new proof there. I don't know.
So I can tell you if you want. There's one listener, Josh, has given me a very quick review on X.
Okay.
So he says, just finished it, really well made, and provides much needed deeper insights into his account that were never available before. The visual recreations of where he was and interacted with provide such a much better view of what he was dealing with than anything spoken of before.
I'd be curious. I know he's not here, so I can't ask him. But
One other person said, because everyone else is just saying, it's not out yet here, it's not out yet here, it's not out yet here. Somebody said the graphics are amazing and really brought his story to life. Fascinating.
I almost want, because I know they've done a VR kind of setup where you can explore the space and look at the craft and stuff like that. It seems like that's the new thing to me. But most people that watch the documentary aren't really going to get that experience. Because they're just going to be watching it on a screen, right? But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I don't have a high bar for it. As long as it introduces people to the story well, then that's fine. I would love to see... It would be surprising to me to see it, but I would love to see the discrepancies in Bob's stories addressed to how it's changed over the years. And when it comes to this kind of... I wish it would. Like, for me, that would be more.
I don't know. I've not watched it, but I don't think that's going to happen.
I wish it was like just spoken of, you know, instead of like blind belief, because they, like I said, the space between him telling the truth and him being a complete liar, those two mm-hmm. things are not the only two options. And I think it's much more intriguing to kind of explore the space in between that. And that would be like a definitive documentary. But then that comment from the person saying, you know, more detail than we've heard before, I kind of want to know, you know, Bob put out a video when he kind of first came forward and you could buy it in a magazine. It was just a VHS. And it was Bob literally presenting on camera his story,
yeah.
just himself, how the craft works, how he got involved, so on and so forth. And like, you know, that's dated now.
You want to know what now and why now and why is it new
right.
and why didn't you say this before? What I'll say, and again, I've not watched it yet, neither have you. I do wonder, are we going to get some context around, because David Grush has come forward, or because X has come forward, or because Y said this, it's either reminded him, or it's something similar to, or it's something he talked about he can now or wants to expand on or liken something to, so he's got like different reference points. That's all I can think of, because otherwise, like you, I would be a little bit skeptical if Lazar goes, do you know what, I was sitting in a bar a few months ago and it just came to me, Christ, I met a mantis, you know? I met a mantis being while I was there and had totally forgotten. That would be a little bit, it's not going to happen, red flaggish. But yeah, I'm intrigued to see what comes up, why it comes up, and it might make total sense. I hope it does, because, you know, I'm a fan of the Lazar story, and I really want it to be true. But yeah, I get there are discrepancies and issues.
And I think I want that kind of subtle space between truth and lies addressed, because, you know, we know that this stuff kind of almost came from John Lear, right? Like the story mm-hmm. trickled down through Lazar, and then it was presented from Knapp. But in Lazar's own video, he says, you know, there are two kinds of information. There's my experiences where I worked on the craft, and he repeats the Demon Core story that happened elsewhere. And, you know, if you don't know about that kind of accident, then it sounds amazing. But if you know about it, it's really sus. But then there's also the folder that he was given, where it said these things were like from Zeta Reticuli, and it was all about like the species and stuff like that. You know, that's a written thing that he read. And that could just be, you know, like when Apple releases a new phone, they'll give people different kinds of devices. You know, one might be purple, so that if some outlet reports the new phone's going to be purple, they know exactly who spilled the beans on that.
Zeta testing.
Right, Zeta. I like it. Very good.
Thanks.
But yeah, you know, that disinfo kind of aspect is really important, because it does seem like he was messed with in terms of, you know, plausible deniability. And it could realistically be just that people didn't want anyone knowing that Area 51 existed, for example. But we can't figure that out if it's always presented in the context of it's an alien spaceship and they come from Zeta Reticuli. I think that needs to be explored.
Yeah, I'm very quickly, because I'll be recording on it tomorrow, like a quick review. Yeah, just like I said, I hope anything that's expanded on isn't so ridiculous that you're like, why didn't you mention this in the last 30 years when you had a chance? I would like to think there's a logic behind it. Bob Lazar is not a stupid guy, clearly. So no. I would like to think he would know that too. And he hasn't, as much as people say he's never profited from it. Well, he has. I've got one of his sports model drawings that's signed, you know, to me that I bought years ago when he was doing them online. And he's written a book, and so he has made some money, but he's never rinsed it in the way that he spent 30 years in front of camera. I'm sure if he came forward and offered himself to contact in the desert or a spoken word tour that Lou Elizondo's going on, it would sell out. He would make a fortune. He is a guy that when you put his name in a YouTube video title, you get more views because people know Bob Lazar. Your general public know Bob Lazar. When you say football and you ask someone, name a football or soccer player, they'll say Messi, Ronaldo, Pele, Maradona.
I was just going to say Messi. He's the Messi of the UFO world, right? Everyone knows him.
Yeah. Maybe the Pele, thinking back a bit older, because he's a guy that's been around for a long time. Not to get too detailed about it. But yeah, he is one of the big names. He's like the guy that people will mention. People who don't know the UFO topic, and you say, tell me some names of people involved, I reckon a lot of folks would go Bob Lazar, or they would say that guy who worked on the spaceships.
Yeah.
And I reckon you'd probably get 90% of folks in the public wouldn't be able to name anyone else, including Grush, Corbell, Knapp, Elizondo, none of them.
I would agree with that. And it's the highest rated Joe Rogan episode as well, like the most viewed.
Yeah. Trades, and I think he's probably going to be on Rogan Today or tomorrow.
Yes, with the director, Luigi, isn't it? If I can get his name right. I wanted to speak to that grift a bit as well, because I know we talk about this often, but like grifter, literally, the definition is if I pay you for something and you don't give me anything, you're a grifter. You know, you're scamming me. If I pay you for a poster and you give me the poster, that's not grifting, right? Like that's just, I'm asking him for the poster and he's going, well, yeah, I'm a busy guy, but if you chuck me a few bucks, I'll sort it out for you. I don't see anything wrong with that, right? Like no one's forcing anyone, just like Lou going on tour, no one's forcing people to go see him. It's up to you if you want to go do that. Mileage may vary as to whether you agree with it or not, but you don't have to go, right? It's that Ricky Gervais bit about calling people up to go, I don't want guitar lessons. All right, then don't have them. Like, that's fine. But they're not scam artists in the same way as, you know, someone like David Adair might be, you know, where he's just milked this every year going forward until he couldn't anymore. And every year there were new events he was part of, to the point where he's like the Forrest Gump of UFO history. He was involved in all of these big moments and like just remembering new stuff every year. Bob isn't
Cody
like
Good.
Cody Good. Yeah, that's a better
live
example.
Under deposition saying I made it all up essentially, and this is my intellectual property and it's a story and it happened in my head to then carry on afterwards and people still buy it. So
And who's the other guy? David Wilcox, and I know Darcy Weir talks about all these guys in his work.
He does,
again, like, please go watch it. But yeah, there's literally footage of David Wilcox who says that he's a reincarnation. Go on.
Are you going to also talk about the video where he says something really spiritual, then says to his wife, go and say some shit?
That's
and tells
exactly
her to go and say it on camera, but forgets to edit that bit out.
Yep. Exactly. That's you know they grift in, right?
That's like us having this conversation, Dan, and then me going, I can't believe people believe this UFO.
Yes.
Bro, honestly, man, utter nonsense. Right. Anyway, let's just lie and say we're interested in the Bill Maher segment
it's
now.
It's that
I never cut it out.
That makes the difference for me. Yeah. Right. Like people make mistakes, people can be scam artists, but if they're sincere about the message they're selling versus think it's bullshit and selling it anyway, like that's a red line for me. You know, I know not everyone agrees with Lou, but he seems to me sincere and wanting transparency. You know, you take Lou away and none of what we have today is there. Even David Grush might not have come forward, right? Grush, he seems sincere. He wants transparency. Even people you disagree with, like I disagree with Greer, but he seems to want transparency. He seems to be sincere, right? So it's not like I want to throw the baby out with the bathwater and kind of
We'll come back to that in the premium
absolutely.
Section.
Yeah, teaser.
I've got thoughts on that. Short Stuff had asked a question. We'll get through them quick, Dan. If Luigi Venditelli, who's the maker of this documentary, folks, S4, the Bob Lazar story, if Luigi can prove Bob was telling the truth, what do you think this will mean for the disclosure movement?
I mean, I always answer these questions with a question instead of straightforward, right? Like, I want to say what truth? Because Bob's story has changed. But I guess that's not what we're discussing. I think if you could prove that every aspect of Bob's story is true, like Element 115, S4, working on the sources, so on and so forth, like beyond reasonable doubt, like you actually have the sourcer that he worked on and you have other people that say, no, I work with him, and maybe they took like crappy Polaroid pictures back then and proves it. It changes the ballgame entirely, right? Because then it's not, oh, we think the government's messing with us. It's no, the government are 100% lying. It's proved that they're lying. And also maybe the government who says like, we don't know anything about this, maybe they've been lied to too. So you start getting this like huge distrust in these institutions and undermining, you know, the very foundations of democracy in so many ways that, I don't know, like part of me thinks there will be riots in the street from some people, you know, they would feel just like, you know, the world has been withheld from them for seemingly no reason. But I guess we'll see. It's hard to figure it out because I know when we talk about religion and religion's ability to handle this, depending on what religion we're talking about, it may or may not have space for the supernatural and beings that aren't, you know, us or aren't God, like things in between, like jinn and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I kind of think that reflects the community in a way, like all these different beliefs that we're bringing to this, only one set of them can be confirmed. And so it's kind of difficult to blanket everyone is going to react like this. But I think it would certainly be a new era in terms of just not trusting our institutions anymore.
Yeah. Before social media, we all had access to the same information, but it was limited. We all read the same 10 or 20 books. We'd all seen the same 10 documentaries, and you made up your mind off of that. So there was a much more limited resource pool to get your ideas from. But now you can literally, unfortunately, probably for good or for bad, you can see and read everyone's opinion on everything, and it just gets so muddy and messy. So that's why there are so many groups now. You can see what everyone thinks all the time. You can see that it's not good for you. I try and limit my time on social media, same as you, Dan, but given what I do and you do and just life, you do spend a lot of time scrolling or doom scrolling. I'm watching this guy who's a chef, Chef Reactions, and I love watching his videos of slating people. It's brainless shit. The guy's quite funny and I like him. But again, it's just like, I'm wasting my time. But that is what we do as a society now, largely. Anyway, Dan, your time is precious. Break-even Bandit said, I may have missed the window. You didn't. I'm reading this live. Matt Gaetz's comment was mostly from someone who came into his office, not a skiff, like you said, Dan. Honestly, with all of the issues the House Ethics Committee found against him, he's probably looking for a distraction. We'd love to hear more, though. Well, you heard it. Can't wait for the Bob Lazar update. He was the first whistleblower that really stuck to his guns. Government oddly tried to cover it up too. Dan would dispute him sticking to his guns completely. I have less of an issue with Bob's story. And lastly, Artemis is just a distraction, in my opinion. Best April Fool's joke ever. Real mission, but to act like this is the first time we are doing this. There's his point. It's a real mission, but it's acting like the first time we're doing this. I'm sure we've had a base of some kind long before Artemis 2 and Artemis 3 missions. A few folks have mentioned that, including Purple Burglar, Dan. I'd like to know your thoughts on Artemis 2 circling the dark side of the moon on a live stream, possibly showing artificial structures and who knows what else.
The dark side is mapped. You can look at it. Like, we've been scanning it with LiDAR for ages.
Yeah, not live, though.
Not live, but also, you know, we're not experts. We don't know what we're looking at. And so it's this appeal to authority thing again, right?
Like, if you see, like, a house.
Right, if you see a house, if you, you know, saw an iPhone on the floor, like, it's a different thing. But it's a choose-your-own-adventure thing and a kind of God-in-the-gaps thing, right? Like, there's no difference between saying that there's space for something to exist and just making up something that does exist in that gap. You know, there could be what is it? There's flying spaghetti monster. The whole idea is that there's a flying spaghetti monster orbiting the sun, like near Jupiter. And of course it's ridiculous, but prove me wrong, right? Like that's the idea of it. We don't know. So you can't prove me wrong. Therefore you have to believe it exists when that's not the way things work.
Right. Devil's advocate though. Is this a way, we've often talked about over the years, when Kanye West goes into space, finally gets to take his iPhone and film something flying past the SpaceX window. What if they do spot something? What if something does happen on this mission on a live stream? What if they see something unequivocal on the surface of the moon, move, take off, whatever it might be? Is that a legitimate way right now to bring forth a disclosure conversation?
Maybe. Because there's a chance that China has a moon base already, right? And it's classified, or Russia has one and it's classified. And so again, they all have bases
on the moon.
Right. So, but we don't know is my point, right? They may or may not, but we could see a base, and some people will believe it's an ET base and they've been there for ages and the moon is artificial. Other people will believe, oh, it's a China base. Maybe it's the NSA, right? Like they're like, most of NASA's equipment are hand-me-downs from the NSA. Hubble was that way. You know, they were like, oh, don't bother building it. You can just have this. This is an old thing we have. Like, we've got better now. The whole thing about the first time, I don't see that we're going, it's the first time we've been to the moon. This is stepping into a new era of space travel. We're going further than we ever have before. We're testing all this new equipment, you know, and those tests lead to incredible scientific advancements. We have GPS, hydrogen fuel cells, you know, just doing this, you and I.
So that is that not an issue?
Missions.
So Ryan Sprague posted online something. It was about, why aren't more people talking about this? Why aren't more people excited about this? I think largely, like, no one I know spoke to me about it. And I don't think there has been as much interest publicly, because it is one of those things where we went to the moon 60-odd... Let's go with the people who do believe it happened, right? Including myself. We went to the moon 60 years ago. We put people on the moon multiple times. So to just go into, regardless of the new equipment, regardless of the new ship, it seems like you're taking a step back to potentially go a couple forward. But it's like, yeah, it's been done a long time ago in a different way, a much more difficult way a long time ago as well. Remember that the code was written by hand, wasn't it? By the woman who initially done that. Spectacular feat of engineering and achievement back then. Not that it's not now, but the public are like, we've seen this movie before. So I get where folks weren't excited. I didn't watch the launch. If they were landing on the moon, I probably would have. But for me, I was like, I can see a SpaceX launch every other day.
You know, I'm a nerd and I didn't watch it. So I get it in a way. Like, I've seen a rocket launch before. They're just orbiting. Yes, it's amazing what they're doing. They're going further than ever before. That's incredible. But the headline grabber is, we're going to build a moon base. So when that happens, people will be interested because it's the next step, right? Or if we go to Mars, people will be interested to the next step. But when the first baby is born on the moon base that's never seen a sunrise over the horizon on Earth, like, that'll be insane. But I think it's a case of, like, for me, in a nerdy way, I'm like, I know this is, in the same way as landing on the moon was the first step for man, and biggest step for mankind, this is the start of that next step. So I'm like, yeah, I can project, and I'm seeing that this is a really exciting development. But also, I do kind of understand, like, if you've seen a rocket launch before, this looks the same, right?
Yeah. And that's very Weekly World News of you. Moon baby confirmed.
Moon baby confirmed. Yeah, it's going to be a headline sometime.
In the
right?
black suit with the moon baby. and it's got like a little helmet on. But yeah, listen, Dan, we'll leave it there for the free feeds. I'm going to keep you for 5 minutes, 10 minutes on the paid feeds as a thank you. For folks leaving us here who don't want to take up any of the free trials or the paid memberships to support the podcast and hear a little bit more with no adverts, no sponsorships and all that extra content, how can people find you and your work?
So people can find me if they search What It Means to Be Human. That's the channel name, or at To Be Human Show on social media. We've had some really cool episodes recently, actually. I spoke to Thomas Jane last week, did a focused episode deep dive on Chains of the Sea and why people kind of go crazy over it and stuff like that. So yeah, we're really finding our feet and exploring all of these kind of different concepts and talking to some really interesting people. I've got Danny Sheehan coming up as well. As well as Joshua Cutchin and Jeff Nucitelli. So yeah. Come check it out. You can see I'm a nerd anyway. So, yeah.
The links will be in the description, of course, folks. But if you want to hear a little bit more from Dan and myself, then hang fire. If you're on the paid feeds, you will hear the episode just continue. Same on YouTube. Otherwise, we will speak to you very, very soon.